Lord Jesus, we're grateful that once again we get to be in your word, spending time with your people. I pray that our hearts will be pliable and tender and ready to hear what your word has to say today. Amen. And after church, we're going to distribute some things as well, so try to not forget that. Review time. We've been going over the armor of God, and most of you could probably kind of tell me what all the armor was and what its purpose was. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Truth is kind of a really important aspect of the armor. Without truth, everything kind of falls apart. Breastplate of righteousness. Truth and righteousness go hand in hand. It's important to understand that if you're going to do the right things, you've got to know what the truth is, and you won't be able to do the right thing. You can pretend you're doing the right thing, and if it's not based on truth, you're probably not doing the right thing. So, kind of important. And then your shoes are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so we've got all of these pieces of armor that we put on. Then we take up the shield of faith. And faith is one of those things that works best in community. When we put people arm in arm, side by side, you kind of notice how the soldiers are linked together so that they can move forward together and stand firm together. Faith is going to be a lot easier if I've got a measure of faith that God's given me and you've got a measure of faith that God's given you. And the two of us together, we're going to have stronger faith. That's just reality. Scripture talks about how two strands are not easily broken. Three strands, you'll be able to stand more firmly. So it's important to have faith, but also to lean on the faith of those around you. Part of the body of Christ, responsibility is iron sharpening iron. All of us helping one another. We're not supposed to be in this alone. And we talked about the helmet of salvation and how it's protective of the head. And salvation is something, again, that comes from the Lord. All of this brings us to today's message, which is going to be about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, there were a couple different types of swords. The sword in this particular passage of the armor was the short sword, not the big broad sword that you would have been wielding and trying to do damage with, but this is more of a defensive sword. The sword was short, lightweight, and well-balanced. It was used for close contact. If the enemy's coming at you, nice to have a final piece of equipment that would help defend you. But I think also that, you know, when you look at the sword being compared to the Word of God, to me, there's you're not going to use the sword on yourself. But we do use the Word of God on ourselves. When it talks about how the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide soul and spirit and all of that, it's like, okay, Word of God is supposed to speak to me, not just something I use to bludgeon other people with. Hopefully we don't use the Word of God as an offensive weapon, and I think one of the things that I oftentimes, as I'm listening to ministers talk about the armor of God, they get to this and they say, this is the only weapon that's meant for offense. But it's still, when you look at this particular sword, it was a defensive weapon also. And all of the armor of God is so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. We can stand together. We can stand and not fall. We can be God's people together holding back the gates of hell. They won't be able to prevail against us. So, a couple more slides I've added. Jesus is the armor. So I've tried to stress this, but I just want to stress it a little bit more even today. When we go back all the way to the belt of truth that we covered a few weeks ago, John 14:6 says, you know, Jesus is quoting, he's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. So when we think about the armor of God, put on the armor of God, we need to be in Christ. We need to have Christ dwelling in us, and he is the truth. He's our belt that holds everything together. breastplate of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness, it is impossible for us to attain without Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. You think about the gospel shoes fit with readiness, which comes from the gospel of peace. Ephesians 2:14 says Jesus himself is our peace. And then the gospel is Jesus Christ with all the blessings contained in him. We wouldn't have gospel, we wouldn't have readiness, we wouldn't have peace without Jesus. It's all Jesus. And so when we look at the armor of God, it's like, okay, put on the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Put on Jesus. The shield of faith. His faithfulness makes possible our faith. Galatians 2:20 says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I wouldn't have any opportunity for faith if it wasn't given to me by God. And I can live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, but then he also gave me the faith. It's like he supplied everything for us. The helmet of salvation. I love it in Luke 2:30. Simeon is at the temple. He's an old guy, and he's kind of been waiting his whole life to see God. And when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in to do the offering after Jesus was born, Simeon saw Jesus in the temple, and he says that he has seen the Lord's salvation. He sees Jesus, and he says, this is salvation. I've seen the Lord's salvation in Jesus. So again, as we're putting on the helmet of salvation, we're putting on Jesus. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we want to know who the Word is, you go to John. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then all the way through verse 14, states that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Word we're talking about. So all of the armor really is Jesus. And so as we move into today's passage, it's Ephesians 6:17, should say B there. The sword of the Spirit, or the Word of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's one thing. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are our righteousness. You are our salvation. You are our peace, and you are the Word. Thank you for sending your Spirit. Number of passages we're going to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 3, one that I've brought up more than a couple of times. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. This is Pastor Paul writing to young Pastor Timothy. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. His mom and his grandma. Timothy, you know them. You've seen them. Their life has lived out the words that they taught you. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Word of God makes us wise. The Word of God is for us, I think, more than it is... Okay, let me just back up a little bit. How many of you, I know at least a couple of you, you don't have to wave hands or anything, but have ever had a firearm that you carry? You've got a concealed carry permit, you walk around, you've got a firearm, you carry it. That's not because you want to use it. But it's also to help you feel secure. When we're carrying the Word of God, the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, it's for our security as well. It helps us know that, yeah, if I need this, it's there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I've got something to protect me. Thank you that I don't need to be afraid. Timothy had known from the beginning, because he'd been trained in the Word through the life and example of his mom, of his grandma, that we know of, and maybe others. He knows that he can be wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So he's got the faith that comes from Jesus. He's got the Word, the Scriptures. He's been able to be trained in this properly. And then it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is available for us so that we're ready, so that we're equipped, so that we're able to respond to whatever comes our way when the enemy tries to send its flaming darts at us. Word of God. Keep coming back to the Word of God. And that's where our defense, our true defense is. It's like, okay, a lot of this, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So thinking that, well, like Peter, he sees an enemy coming at his Jesus, and he gets out his real sword, physical sword, and whacks off Malchus's ear. And it's like, no, put that away. Jesus puts the ear back on, heals him. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers of darkness. We're wrestling against things that are unseen. Sometimes we're wrestling against ourselves. Sometimes we're wrestling against our own tendencies to do wrong. And the Word of God is going to help bring us back. It's going to divide our hearts so that we know exactly, we're convicted. It's like, whoa, I shouldn't be doing that. Or I should be doing this. And that's where the Word of God is going to help be our light and our guide. It'll teach us what we need to be doing. And thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's different elements of Christianity that think, you know, we're going to just let Jesus do all of it. You know, take your hands off the wheel and let him take you. And that's true to it in a sense. And yet, God gives us salvation so that we can do good works. It's actually for a purpose. Those good works are never going to save any of us. But those good works are the fruit that comes from being a follower of Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:15, so same letter to Timothy, but just backing up a little ways. Paul is telling Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Correctly handling the word of truth. If you think about the word of God being a sword, you want to put a sword in the wrong hands? You want to give a sword to some kid that's got no discernment at all? Little grandchildren, you don't give them swords to play with. Maybe play swords, but yeah, okay. Well, Marion's not sure. It's been a rough week. You know, it's like, no matter how much that kid thinks they can handle the sword, you want to make sure that they're really ready. And rightly dividing the word of truth, correctly handling the word of truth is kind of important. If we're handling something that's powerful and sharp and can do damage. How many people have been damaged by others taking the Word of God and misusing it against you? We've got to be careful when we're handling something that powerful, when we're handling something that can cut and do harm. Let's make sure that we're not doing harm, that it's cutting for good, that it's dividing where it needs to divide, that it's done with precision and it's correctly handled. The Word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If we're correctly handling the Word of God, and we see a friend or another Christian that's in need of having some rebuke or correction or training from the Word of God, Scripture also tells us we need to go with humility. You don't take Scripture at somebody and say, I got all the answers and you better listen to me. It's, here's what I found works with my heart. Check with God. See if this is going to work with your heart as well. And let the Scripture be the one that's judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We shouldn't be the judges. Scripture's pretty clear about we're not supposed to go around judging. But then the Bible, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, can be my judge. And as I seek in the Scriptures and I find that, oh, yeah, fits of wrath. That needs to go. It has no place in a follower of Jesus. That doesn't mean I'm not tempted to go back there sometimes. It doesn't mean that I've conquered in my own strength fits of wrath. But if we continually are in Christ, if we put on Christ, if we put on the full armor, which is Jesus, then when those temptations of, you got a right to be angry, this person deserves it, you know, all those things can cross our mind. But it's like, oh, but Scripture also says, and that's where you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Even Satan, when he was tempting Jesus, tried to use Scripture against him. That's where the misuse of Scripture is one of the more obvious examples. And Jesus can come back at him with the correct use of Scripture, rightly dividing, properly using the word of truth. I can rationalize anything. As a human, we're pretty good at that. We can find ways to say, yeah, well, what I did wasn't so bad because, and we can usually find somebody that did something worse. Or we can find some other reason why it's not as bad as it really is, because, but then when we're under the word, if we're in Christ, if we're listening to Scripture, it's like, oh. So, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So, I could be angry at somebody and not sin, it tells me. Be angry and don't sin. So the fits of wrath, don't let it out. You can go ahead and get angry, but don't sin. What do you do with your anger? David gives us an example in a number of the Psalms. He brings his anger to God. If we look through Scripture, it's like, you know, if we confess, he's faithful and he's just and he's going to forgive us. And so whatever struggles we're struggling with and whatever temptations we have, be angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's like, we've got to get right with God quickly and be prepared and be ready. We have to have the full armor on. We have to have all of Jesus on with faith and righteousness and all of the armor that's going to protect us, including the sword, the Word of God, because that's going to judge my thoughts and my heart. It's going to cut to the quick when I'm in the wrong. And it will correct me, and it will rebuke me, and it will bring me back to righteousness. And then I can have that breastplate of righteousness on. And I can have that shield of faith, knowing that there's a whole bunch of other Christians around me. But if I'm struggling, I can go to them, and I can say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Well, let's link up our shields of faith. Let's work together on this. First Peter 1:23, you have been born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Throughout all of Scripture, we learn about Scripture. Psalm 119, a lot of verses, every one of them is about the Word of God. It's a light, it's a lamp. Do you know that we can hide God's Word in our heart so that we won't sin? His word is able to keep us from sinning. That's a pretty good weapon. Wouldn't you love it if every police officer, every soldier, every person, that peace officers that were set up anywhere were able to be perfect at all times? Always making the right decision, always making the right call. Would the world be a better place? This is what we've been called to do as followers of Jesus. We've been called to, even in the midst of trial and trouble and tribulation and attack from the enemy, to stand firm with feet that are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Everything about us needs to be, this is for Jesus, it's for His kingdom, which is peace. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We don't have to be slaves to violence. We don't have to be slaves to sin. We don't have to be slaves to responding in kind to others. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit and know. And Holy Spirit has given us his word. He's written it. He also will interpret it, and he's the one that's going to help us use it wisely, and we can correctly divide whatever needs to be divided. In Luke 4, I could turn there and we could read all these verses. I don't think I'm going to. Most of you are familiar with the passage. Jesus is called out into the wilderness, and he spends 40 days out there, doesn't eat or drink during that time. Satan comes to him. He says, hey, I bet you're hungry. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread, and then you can eat, because I know you're capable of doing that. It's almost like he's giving Jesus credit for being God and at the same time tempting him. And each time that Satan came up with something that he wanted to tempt Jesus with, each time, Jesus set the example of what we're supposed to do with this sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. In verse 4, in verse 8, in verse 12, it is written, Jesus' response to the temptation, his response to the fiery darts, the attacks from Satan was, well, the Bible says, you know what? The Bible's stronger than you are, Satan. The Bible has answers. The Bible can rebut any of your temptations. Jesus was it says in Luke chapter 4 that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you're tempted, you're going to respond with wielding the sword of the Spirit. You're going to respond with, oh, the Bible has something to say about this. Nothing that's going to come at us is going to be something that hasn't already been thought through by God who gave us his word. So we can, just like Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit and wield the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to thwart the enemy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word is sharp and effective. I pray, Lord, that my heart will be properly divided, condemned when necessary, praised when appropriate. Help me to hear from you, Holy Spirit, and to correctly use the word that you've provided us with. Your name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.